Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joining us. Hello, Eric.
Hey, how's it going?
Very well. Yourself, sir?
Well, I mean, I'm enjoying the music, and it's all very appropriate.
Yeah. Hold it high.
I believe I requested that at, 8 o'clock last night?
Yes.
Perhaps more appropriate then.
Oh, no. We appreciate the symbolism.
Yeah, for anybody who holds the terrible music that is always my intro against Rich or Carrie, it's all my fault. It's usually some twisted joke. We at Bangor Wine are hanging in the same way that everybody else is. It's interesting times, isn't it?
Yes, interesting. I'll say that. Yeah. That's one word for it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, on one hand, I feel, and this is sort of a sweeping statement given the current other crisis that we've all sort of temporarily put aside, but there is a certain dynamic that exists when you're in a place like Bangor, which A is, I will say, predominantly one skin tone, but also it's just not a lot of people.
Right.
And there's certain social issues, problems, epidemics, movements that simply can't gain the sort of traction necessarily here to gain any sort of national attention, and people sometimes tend to ignore the national issues because we're here. So it's been an odd time because it feels both real and unreal, especially since I have friends, and I'm sure you guys do too, and I'm sure many of your listeners do too, who are sending us videos literally from down their street, wherever they are, in Minneapolis, in Rochester, New York, in Washington, D.C. And despite the fact that we, of course, had protests down the street from where I live, and despite the fact that Christine and I discussed the fact that Bangor Wine has such nice open windows, the threat level just feels different, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, absolutely. And as you talk, and this is so sad and disturbing, I'm watching a video that just came up on Twitter of huge military hardware and personnel moving through the streets of Washington, D.C.
That's right. And I literally had friends send me video, like, independently of what you're seeing now. I mean, it's, as you, Rich, and perhaps Carrie know, as my friends on Facebook, I mean, any student of history is neither surprised by this nor not saddened by this. It's the sort of thing that I hope that, and I'm sure that, you know, every listener that you have, because you don't hide your beliefs, it's a time that I feel trite talking about the Rhone Valley, which I'm going to attempt to do, it's absolutely important that people, I guess maybe the point that I should make, you know, the because I read, right, because I have historical perspective, and one of the reasons I love wine and love the whole topic of food and alcohol and enjoyment and the conviviality of that throughout the ages is because a lot of these places have been through this, and I have been there since. And I said this to my wife the other day as we were both having a mutual freak out. As I said, when I went back to Germany and met those who stayed, right? Because we're all like, maybe we should run away.
Yeah.
When we met those who stayed, were they bad people? No, they were good people. And they were good people then, and they're good people now. And when you went back to Russia, because Christine's family ended up here because they ran away in the middle of the night because they had to. They stowed their belongings into their garments and they ran away. Some of them made it, some of them didn't. When you went back, Christine, were the people who stayed good people? Yeah, they're good people. And I think that's ultimately what we all have to remember, is the majority of us are good people. Are the good people that the president talks about. you know, we're really the good people. We're the people keeping the calm. And so anyway, it's been very emotional for us, obviously. As business owners too, you don't know the right answer. Again, I have friends who are small business owners in these places and who are closing up because the place next to them got torched.
Yeah, and
that's easy for me to deal with.
And I think, you know, it's important too, and again, we've been lucky here. We had a wonderful and peaceful protest last night through the streets of Bangor, and other cities aren't experiencing that. But I think it's also important to separate the protesters from the looters. They're not the same people.
Yes, absolutely. And this is so to bring it to downtown topics specifically. I was on a marketing meeting call this morning with the Downtown Bangor Partnership. And that was one of the really important things that I kept thinking is, you know, because we're trying to talk about how do we as a downtown partnership, you know, talking about bringing people back downtown and talking about, you know, all the good things that downtown has to offer as we safely reopen and such, yeah, is this idea of even should we have a stance and if that stance is it. And the point is, you know, we do have so much to celebrate and put forth as that we specifically have the power to come together because we are perhaps smaller, because we all can hold our neighbors accountable. Say, I saw that person in that video. I know who that person is. I know who this person is. Anyway, it's an interesting dynamic I hope goes away soon, but only because we solve it. It's, as many guests before me, because of course I've been listening to the program all day, have said, it seems odd for me to comment on it. And yet, someone like James Dolan, as you referenced multiple times, can't bring himself to comment on it. So you're like, I don't know the right answer. But I believe in Bangor in a big way, and I think we'll pull through this, and I think that we can be a shining light, as I think we've been through the entire pandemic as well.
Yes, I agree.
Of course, there are critics everywhere, but, you know, the city acted decisively, acted in a good faith way, and continues to act in a good faith way. And, of course, our council right now is the sort of council that I think can speak to a lot of issues dealing with society right now, that society is dealing with right now. In a very intelligent way, and we're lucky to have that. So, I mean, for better or worse, I think we're positioned better than a lot of people are. And I don't know what that means, but I hope it means good things.
Well, I think you're right, and I couldn't agree more.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, Carrie, quick time check, sir.
4 minutes. Four minutes.
Very good. Well, hey, let's talk about some happier topics. So. We are, of course, still doing wine, and I am turning the ripe old age. I empathize with you guys a lot, so don't laugh at me when I say this, but I'm turning 42.
Oh, no.
Yes. So,
if socks that old.
I am getting, together with my friend, Chris Campbell, who has actually been a guest on the phone with you guys.
Yes, indeed.
Who has imported wines from Spain, from Portugal, from now he's doing France and Italy as well. And his new colleague, Mike, who has worked for a bunch of awesome wine companies, we're trying to put together a wonderful Zoom tasting on my birthday, which will be next Wednesday, actually, at 5 p.m., So I'm super excited about that because Chris is one of the guys who has inflamed my passion for wine really since the first year I got into it, which with every passing year is a long time ago at this point, which is really cool because frankly, I'm one of these people who gets entranced with a lot of things and then kind of falls out of love, but I've never fallen out of love with the romance of wine and the places it comes from. And so please, folks, do stay tuned, because if we wrangle this together, and it looks like we're actually going to and probably put an official Zoom meeting out online tomorrow, that's going to be a lot of fun. And you know, the other topic that I have, so this is the start of our world tour, and you know, June is, and so this would be the time that, you know, I would be talking about the Rhone Valley and the Languedoc, and it's appropriate because our wine of the week this week is from the Rhone Valley. And for those of you who don't know, Rhone Valley, stretching down to the Languedoc, is basically all the wines you love, right? It's Grenache, it's Syrah, it's Carignan, Morvette. It's all these wonderful, lush French grapes that give you all this palette of flavors that are just so wonderful, and Côte de Rhones and other things like this. Our wine of the week, not to be missed. It's not cheap, but it's well worth the price. It's a very, very small production from 1 hectare in the northern Rhone Valley, where they're doing Syrah. And it's very peppery, 11.5% Vin de France from one of my favorite states. Speaking of places that are sort of removed from reality, like Bangor seems to be sometimes, the Domaine de Miquette, this wonderful little farmstead in the northern Rhone Valley, where they wear homespun sweaters and grow their own everything, if you know what I mean. and it's really cool. And I guess to sum up, I think if we could all sort of get back to the simpler things of enjoying sitting around a table and getting to know people, I think a lot of this nonsense in the world would go away. And I think the quicker we can get rid of quarantines and getting back to sitting around tables with people who may be a little bit different than us, I think that's where we need to get.
Well said, sir. Sorry for rambling, but not at all for today, right? It is indeed. It's a good day for that sort of thing. We appreciate it and appreciate your thoughtfulness, as always.
Thank you, guys. I'll talk to you next week, where hopefully we'll have absolutely no reason to be off topic.
All right. I'm going to hold you to that. All right, we'll try it.
God bless it.
See you then.
Cheers, boys.
Thanks, Eric.
Bye.
Eric Mahon, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor.